Central Texas area. It's Let's Talk with your host, Eric Jackson. So sit back, relax, and enjoy the show. And now, here's your host, Eric Jackson.
All right, all right. Good afternoon. Happy Monday to you out there. Happy Monday. And I hope everybody had a good weekend. You're staying in out of the heat and out of the old cold rain. All right. Before we go any further, I am your host, Eric Jackson, and welcome to Let's Talk. Now, if you feel like joining in the conversation today, you can dial in at 347-838-8622, or you can email me at ericletstalk@gmail.com. I do have my chat room open as well, so if you just feel like chatting with me while the show is going on, you're more than welcome to. Now that we have the pleasantries out of the way, hey, well, I think we have an outstanding show set for you today. And the topic is, should the military be mandatory? Should military service be mandatory? And I think that is a very good topic that we do need to talk about. You know, there are the ones that oppose it, then there are people who, you know, are for it. So in today's world, we need to talk about this. You know, when I say mandatory, I'm not talking about a draft. No, there's a difference between a draft and just making it mandatory. Number one, if you get drafted, you have no control over anything. Nothing at all. So we're not talking about a draft here. We're just talking about making it mandatory. Just mandatory for our young people, say 18 to 25, to do at least 2 years of service in the military. That's all we're talking, just 2 years. You know, most of the time, once they graduate from high school, they blow off 2 years. So why not? I know you say, well, we have the selective services. But what good does that do? That just means you just go and sign up, just in case. Well, what about once they sign up, go on and let them enlist? It's only 2 years out of life, right out of high school. You know, now the thing is, with that, unless it's, you know, they're going to college and something like that, and then on a scholarship, then yes, I can see them not going in. But for the average teenager, once he get out of high school that really has no plans, then yes, I say let them go join in. Let them join for 2 years. 2 years. Now since the draft ended, you know, there have been the ongoing argument whether or not the draft should be reinstated. You know, especially when the wars in Iraq and Afghanistan got started and was in full boom, because the need for manpower was outstanding, was great then. You needed them boots on the ground. You needed those boots on the ground. So we couldn't keep enough people in the military. No, most soldiers, as soon as they got to their new unit, they were shipped overseas. So with that being the way, why not have a mandatory military obligation? Why not? Now the wars are beginning to wind down. And once again, the military is preparing to what? Downsize. Just like after the Desert Storm. You know, once the war was over, they downsized. But then what happened was, and hopefully they learned from that situation, was once they started downsizing, more individuals got out than they were anticipating. Now, when that happened, that means all of a sudden there was a shortage. There was a shortage. Then there was this rush to reverse that trend and get as many individuals in as they could. Well, and that's a great argument for them to make military service mandatory for our young people. Yes, I know we have an all-volunteer army. And during when wars are going on, you know, everybody get patriotic and we ready, yay, yay. But what about when the wars are over? And we just everyday type of things. So that has a lot to do with it too. You know, the draft ended in 1973. So since 1973, we have been an all-volunteer force. Of course, no one anticipated these two big wars like this. And manpower is just something that we need. Now, I understand some of you saying, why mess with something that is not broke? Well, you know what my answer to that is? Our young people today, they are broke. They really are. And by making the military mandatory for at least 2 years, this may be able to save some of them. You know, but before it gets too late. And I know y'all like, what are you talking about? Yes, our teenagers are broke. They are broken. You may not understand that term, but I get with you on that. I understand it. Now, we're only talking 2 years of service. Yes, they should be required. Required. Not drafted, but just required to join for 2 years. That's 24 months. So you saying 2 years. And like I mentioned before, of course, it's not going to include the young people that are attending college or some type of scholarship. Heck, some may be going to college to become commissioned officers. So that's even better. But I'm talking about the average teenager who, once they are out of high school, have nowhere to go, has no type of direction on what they want to do. So with that, why not make military service a requirement for 2 years? Or 24 months. 24 months sound better? We'll go 24 months. But why not? You know, because our young people today's young people, they're disrespectful, they're lazy, they're brazen. I mean, they're just out of control. They are. You know this, and I know this. And they're just lazy. Downright lazy. And all of us go by, wow, that's terrible. What's wrong? I mean, what can we do? Well, here's a way to fix that problem. Because once they're joined the military, you know, all that hanging out on the corner stuff, hopefully, will be gone by the time they come out. You know, it would give them some type of discipline, structure in their life. And not even to mention the individuals, that will have a chance of getting further in their education. Why not join the military and let Uncle Sam pay for it? So now you're accomplishing two things. Number one, you're not on the street any longer. You got somewhere to stay. You're getting 3 square meals a day. And you still can get an education free. And this within 24 months, just 2 years. 2 years, that's all. You can accomplish so much in just those 2 years. Now, whether you want to do it, yeah, we know it's going to be some knuckleheads that are going to complain, they're going to get in and not do what they're supposed to do. But what about the ones that want to do something and just cannot afford to do it? What about those individuals? This is a great opportunity for them to go ahead and get the things that they normally wouldn't get, especially education. And we all know the price of education is going out the roof. Why not let them go in for 2 years and get an education? Sounds easy. But then again, you know, everybody say, well, that's too much like the draft. It has nothing to do with the draft. Because in the draft, you ain't trying to get no education. If you've been drafted, that means you're going to war and you have no control of nothing. Of nothing. After your 2 years of service is done, that's it. It's your choice from there. Whether you want to stay in or you want to go ahead and get out. You know, and who knows? Who knows? Some of them may actually get in and decide, I can make this a career. And the ones that do that, you know, at least we know that that young person is saved. Not to say that the ones that decide to get out won't be helped, because they will have some sort of knowledge of what discipline is. So, and with the discipline, you would be surprised what a difference that makes in a young person's life. So the ones that were hanging on a corner, sagging and what have you, they come out the military, they're no longer sagging. You know, they're no longer disrespectful. Because they've had that training. It's been instilled in them now. Or in, how we say, it's been conditioned. They've been conditioned to act a different way. You know, for the child that goes in with low self-esteem, they come out with their head held high, chest poked out. Because they were a soldier. Now, I'm not talking about the type of soldier that, you know, they hang on a street corner. I'm not talking about that type of soldier. I'm talking about a real U.S. American Army soldier. That's what I'm talking about. And you can't beat that. Only 24 months, 2 years. Yes, we should make it mandatory. Yes, we should. Of course, hey, I know. It's not going to work for everybody. I understand it's not going to work. But for the ones that it does work for, hey, that's outstanding. You know, we have saved some lives. We have redirected some young people that may have gone off the wrong road. So we helped them get back on the right road. And this is only in 2 years. 2 years. Military service for 2 years. That's all we need. We're not talking about 3, 4, 5. We're not talking about that. Make military service a requirement, mandatory for 2 years for both young men and young women. 18 to, say, 25, 18, 24. No, make it mandatory for these individuals. They're getting paid. No, that's another thing. They're getting paid. Not like they're going in for free. They're actually getting paid. Once again, you're listening to Let's Talk. I'm your host, Eric Jackson. And if you want to contribute to the conversation today, you can dial in at 347-838-8622. Or you can email me at ericletstalk@gmail.com. I also have my chat box open today, chat room open. So if you feel like chatting, just go ahead and send me a couple lines and we can go ahead and do that as well. And I want to thank you for listening. Now, today's topic is, should military service be mandatory? And in my opinion, yes. Now, if there's some of you out there that have a different opinion, I'd be more than happy to hear from you. You know, it'd be something we can debate. Now, going back to what we was talking about, there are 23 other countries, that actually require young men. See, and here's the catch with theirs. The majority of them are young men. In some special cases, yes, some young ladies that actually require military service from the young people. So the only difference between ours, we will include our young ladies as well as our young men. they're going to go and learn a specific craft, a certain craft, a skill that they can use once they get out. You know, help. It would help that child that's been in one city for all their lives, that has never been anywhere besides maybe 200 miles outside their city. That way they get to experience another culture, another way of living, another place. You know, other people with different backgrounds. You know, that's what the military can do for you. Now, it's one of those things where I know some of your arguments say, no, that's too close to the draft, too much like the draft. No, it's not anything like the draft. It's really not. Because after those 2 years, you have options. You have two options. You can stay in or you can get out. That's your option. Why in? You learn the skill. You've gotten an education, hopefully. You learn to be disciplined, respectful, and your self-esteem is out of the roof. So how bad can that be? In 24 months. That's what I'm saying. In 24 months. Why not make it mandatory? Being a veteran myself, I know what it can do for you. I do. Because it was one of the best moves I ever made. It really was. And our young people need that today. They need that today. Because we have so much, they have so much going on that's negative right in front of them. We need to make sure there's something positive for them to do. And a lot of them get out of high school and they have nothing to do but hang around home. Hang around home or hang out on the block. Then they start hanging on the block with the wrong individuals. Then next thing you know, they're into robbing people and stealing things. Then next thing, they're in juvie or they're in prison. So, why not make it mandatory? 2 years, 24 months. 2 years of 24 months. And it's not, then it's not a big surprise. No, right now we have the selective services, which only thing means they sign up, letting us know that they are eligible for military service. Well, that is just in case they do reinstate a draft. Didn't know that, did you? That's what that's for. In case they happen to reinstate the draft, they can go and look at those signatures, those people, and say who is still eligible and who's not. Well, in that case, then, why even go that far? Make it mandatory for 2 years, 24 months, and then you already have your strength. Your strength, the military strength, is already there. Because they get to choose what branch of service they go in. They get the choice, their choice. You know? And the beautiful part of it is, they can serve even in the National Guard. Even in the National Guard. So they'll have to go far away from home, maybe for training. But it's giving them another outlet. Giving our young people something else to look forward to. You know, everybody say, well, there's no jobs. There's always a job in the military. Always. Yes. There's a job in the military, medical. Now, they get somewhere to stay. They go definitely eat. You know, they can exercise. If they exercise, you know, if they have a special talent, they can use that in the military as well. So it's not a bad option. It's not a bad thing to do. It's really not. It is not. Military service is just outstanding. Now, we take a look at that and we'll be like, well, I don't know. I don't know. Why would we even go through that? Because it helps everyone involved. It helps everyone involved, not just the military, but the individual parents. Because if it's during peacetime, then they know their child is fine. Their child is fine with nothing going on. You know, they're getting their education, they're developing a skill, and the parents aren't paying anything. There's nothing coming out of their pocket. So why not make my military service mandatory? Why not? Hey, if you know it's a problem, let them come in as a buddy system. Like back in the day when I enlisted. You know, bring a buddy with you. You know, y'all go to the same place together for the first 2 years. Why not? Is that so wrong? Is that something that just not going to work? No, that's perfect. That's more manpower. More manpower. But yet we are so closed-minded about certain things in this country. No, anytime you say anything about mandatory, what have you, first thing people want to say is, well, that's like the draft, and we're not having any more drafts. Well, you're right. We shouldn't have any more drafts. But this is not a draft. This is a requirement for 2 years of your young person's life. That's all. 24 months. That's all it is. And after 24 months, then they're free to do whatever they want to do. And you may actually be surprised at the ones that decide to make it a career. Some of the ones you probably never thought would even think about it. And that's so wonderful. That's great. Even the ones that get out. Even the ones that decide, okay, I'm tired, I don't want to do this anymore. But regardless, the training and the discipline that they have received stays with you. It's not something that just happens in the military and that's it. No. All that training, discipline, that stays with you. So it has been instilled in them again by another adult, by the system. So when that person comes out, they're different people, completely different. That's what makes it so great. That's what makes the military work. Yes, it does. I've seen it with my own eyes. I know some of you out there listening, if you were in the military, you weren't perfect when you first went in, were you? No, you probably weren't. And now you in the military or have been in the military, you know, done your time, and you can remember the things you learned and were taught in the military. And I guarantee today you still use those skills. And you use them with confidence because you learned that in the military, and it's part of you now. It's a part of you. And that's what our young kids, our teenagers, and young people need today. No, something that is instilled in them and something that lets them know that someone cares at least. 24 months. That's all. Military service, 24 months. Yes, it should be mandatory. No, we shouldn't have a draft. But yes, that should be required. As soon as they graduate from high school, if they don't have a scholarship to go to a college, then yes, 2 years, 24 months. So once they get out, they'd be what, 19, 20 years old? But they have some direction or something where they want, some idea of what they want to do then after the service. Why not? Because right now, if you ask most of them if they're going to college, they don't know. And the prices for school is going up so high. You know, it's not like we have, you know, it's the cheapest thing to do now, like in the 70s and 80s. It's not. So why not make the school, make it mandatory? Hey, that's free school for the parents. You know, they don't have to worry about paying that tuition, because the government paying it because you are a member of the armed services. Only thing that child has to do is go. Make the classes. And pass, of course. But see, and that's the advantage of military service. Some of you probably never thought about it that way. But that is it. You know, we got this big old argument going on now about health care. You know, our young people not having health care. Well, a free health care in the military. Free health care. So that's another option, another great advantage of being in the military. See, and those are the things people need to think about. You need to think about that. It's not all glamorous. No, the military is not all glamorous. But there are advantages that our young people at an early age can take advantage of and help mold them. Yes, it's an all-volunteer army now, but what are we really accomplishing? You know, we got people hanging out on the street and doing nothing, you know, getting in trouble. Some of them get in trouble with just being in the wrong place at the wrong time. So let's use some of that energy. Why not go ahead and let them join and make it mandatory for them to join? So if they want to hang out, they can hang out in the barracks with their battle buddy. You know, hang out on the street. Hang out in the gym. But they will have some structure in their lives. Now, I know some of you are like, well, I don't know. Think about it. Some of you work so much, you have no idea what your child does during the day, especially if they just graduated from school. Besides sleep, eat, and you know what else. You really have no idea. But if military service was mandatory, you know what your child, where your child was, that's for sure. And they wouldn't always be calling you, hitting you up for money. Because they will be getting paid. They learn how to manage their money themselves. See, and that's what I'm trying to get everybody to understand. You know, our young people are already out of control. And we need to come up with positive, constructive ways of helping them get back on the right track. We do. And why not do it this way? We're helping our government. They're serving the country. But they're also getting an education, a skill, time management. See what I'm saying? They're learning more in than they would be out. And basically, it's free. Just 2 years of your life. Just 2 years. That's all we ask. 2 years of your life. Is that so dang on hard? Is that hard? No, it's not hard. Now, we have an all-volunteer army. Wow. All-volunteer army. Okay, and they go in. You know, they volunteer, and we have fun. I mean, you know, they do their term. No, then they get out. So why not let the young people today do the same thing? 2 years. 2 years. Most people come in. Most people join the military is three to 6 years now. But we'll set this limit at 2 years, 24 months. That's it, 24 months. 2 years out of a young person's life to help it get discipline. I can't see where that's a bad thing. I really can't. Why is that? Why is that so bad? Why? I don't know. Maybe it's just me thinking. And then to add to it, like I said before, it helped cure some of our problems that we have as far as society, our kids. No, and allow the teenagers to actually reach their potential, because there's so many out there with potential that has been untapped. You know, just out there, they have so much attention, but they have nowhere to use that potential. You know, if you make the military service mandatory, then woo, to our potential be unleashed. Unleash, and that potential just bloom, boom, and there you go. You have a person, you have a young person you've never seen before. What is wrong with that? Now, I know everybody talking about, well, what if they go to war, and what if this happens? Well, you're in the military. Yes, that's the negative part. You're in the military. If something happens, then yes, you got to go. If your number comes up, if your unit get called, yes, you have to go. That's one of the options or the drawbacks that happens sometimes. But who says that won't be another experience that young person will learn from? Teach them how to handle themselves in stressful situations. Is that such a bad thing? Huh? Is that such a bad thing now? I wouldn't think it would be. Not at all. We have our society sometimes is so freaking backwards, it's scary. It is, it's really scary. Because the only thing we see is the negative part of things. That's how we see the negative part of things. But when do we actually see the positive side of military service? When? Who can beat this? Who can beat this with a stick? We're getting our young people off the street. I'm sure it gets young people off the street, crime rate will go down. Your grocery bill will go down for sure. You know, kids, you won't be looking at kids saying, wow, that's so disrespectful. They talking to you any kind of way. That definitely will stop. So why not make it mandatory? Just 2 years, 24 months. 24 months. It's not bad. It's not bad at all. But yet we won't do that because we the only thing we think about is war. War. You know, between the Gulf War and Iraqi freedom, that's a huge time period. A huge time period before anything like that happened. And even when it did happen, we still had people coming in, So what makes it so different just to require our teenagers to do 2 years of service? Serve the country. No, 23 other countries do it. No, 23 other countries do it. So why can't we do it? We're supposed to be the most advanced nation out there. Does that make it possible? Is that the reason why we don't require our teenagers, our young people to enlist? Because we the big bad United States? And when war break out, we just know we going to get people to come and volunteer? Is that the premise behind it? Well, if it is, that's kind of backwards. What if it backfires? What if we get involved in another world conflict? And instead of people joining, nobody joins. Or it's very low. Then what? Then all of a sudden, there's the claim for the draft. Everybody be yelling, well, we got to use the draft again. We have to do this again. But if you go ahead and require them to join for this two-year period now, you won't have to worry about manpower problems. Not at all. Not at all. And that's one of the great things about it. And so that is something I think is outstanding. And I see I have a caller on the line. Hello, caller. Thank you for listening. Let's talk. You're on the air. What's on your mind?
Sure. Hi. How are you? Can you hear me?
Yes, I can.
Yes. I just came on. I'm Mr. Solution, and I see that you're talking about military service and should it be mandatory? Absolutely. But one of the points that you probably haven't covered and most people miss are that women should be included in the mandatory service, because already, and maybe you are familiar with this, it is mandatory for all males to register for the Selective Service. And this is even true if the male, upon reaching 18 years of age, and this is even true if the males are mentally and physically disabled. And males are punished if they don't register for the Selective Service, whereas females who have equal rights, equal voting rights, equal legal rights, are not required to register. And this would be a fantastic way of getting many ne'er-do-well females employed and help them gain the discipline and pride to not have a bunch of out-of-wedlock kids.
You know what? That is outstanding. And I've said that also, that it would include our young ladies as well. And I totally agree with you. I really do. And
well, sure.
Teach them that.
Just an additional item, if you can still hear me.
Yes, I can.
Yes, I guess we have an inordinate delay here. But the president, when he was running initially, he actually said that and he made it very personal. He said that women should be required to register for the Selective Service, and he said his little girls should know that they have an obligation to this great nation just as little boys do. So by his saying that, what he was in essence saying is women, even though they're citizens and benefit from everything the U.S. has, they are not obligated as citizens to really serve their country that benefits them so much.
Yes, and you know what? I'm glad he said that. So, but the thing is, how do we get the rest of the public to understand the I guess you could say what an opportunity that is.
Talk about it, just like we're doing right now. Most men, since the feminist movement, are cowards. They're wimps. They don't stand up to women. They just cave. And what has happened is women are amazingly powerful. And women have jiggered things in such a way, in concert with the government, that women are actually more powerful now than men. And that should not be the case. Women, taxpayers' dollars should not be utilized to actually war against men. And that's exactly what we have right now. We have a war on men and boys. And the government is partly responsible for that. But we can start by saying to women, see, this has incremental movements. And we can start by saying to women, especially when you first meet a woman, hey, you can initiate communication with me. You can pay on first dates. Because, see, as one gentleman has aptly said, if you can't stand up to a woman in a restaurant, you can't stand up to her on the Senate floor. So this thing of, you know, catering to women, and I have no problem with being civil to anybody, and women should be civil toward men. But the military and military service, and particularly compulsory registration, is a major area of discrimination based upon gender. Now, to women's credit now, I have to say this. Recently in May, women some reservists, female reservists, filed a federal lawsuit requiring that the ban on combat or the restriction on combat be lifted, because women are saying, hey, we are attached to combat units, which means we don't get credit for our service. We're already in combat because the theater of war has changed. They say we are attached to combat units opposed to being assigned to combat units, which means they do the work, but they don't get the credit. And they say that affects their ability to be promoted, and it affects their performance. And it their performance review, and it affects their retirement, because currently about 17% of the military are made up of women. I think there are in excess of 200,000 women in the military currently, but they are not required to register for the Selective Service. Isn't that crazy and bass ackwards?
Yes, it really is. But I think when it first was established, nobody really thought about that. At the time that it was established, you know, I guess the norm was the male go to war and the woman stay home. Well, as time has changed, society has changed, nobody bothered to update that. So like you say, we need to talk about it so we can make it equal. Because I know when I was in the military, I actually worked with females. I was a truck driver, and females worked just as hard as we did. And I
agree. Absolutely.
You know, so, yeah.
What branch were you in?
I was in the Army.
Yeah, okay, so am I. I'm a veteran.
Mm-hmm, right. So, yes, I think they should be allowed. Cause some of my
honorable service, that's fantastic.
Yes, I really do.
Yeah, so the thing is, see, men and women don't communicate very well. That's a big problem. Women generally feel entitled, and they feel that, they're entitled to everything. They're entitled to free meals. They're entitled to a free ride. A lot of women feel this way. I would say about 80, 85% of women feel this way. And it's partly due to men always kissing up and catering to them. And we have the same thing that's true on the governmental level. Because when you – see, the thing of it is this. We can talk about the way things were, but fooey on that, because things change with the time. At one time, women were basically domestic. You go back to the 50s. In the late 60s, early 70s, women burned their bras and said they wanted equality with men. Well, equality has obligations. And I would say that women should have been required to register and fight in wars when they gain the right to vote. Because if you understand what that means, and I'm sure you do, that means women can vote for politicians that send men off to war to their deaths. You follow that?
That's a good point. Yeah, I'm following you. That is
So the thing of it is that, and this is nothing to do with hating women, and that's the way we stifle and stymie and obstruct conversation. We just try to dismiss it by saying, well, you hate women. Nobody hates women. Come on. The thing of it is, we need to have an open and honest dialogue where we get some balance and equity with respect to gender relations.
And you're exactly right. You know, that the communication is lacking between the two. And we do need to work on that. And we do need to stand up to them. I agree with that. Because in some cases, that is exactly what's going on. Now, ladies, don't get all huffed and puffed now, because we know some of you out there handling your business. But it's the ones that's not that's making it bad for everybody else.
Well, most ladies are not handling their business, and there are a few that are. But most women, let's just be candid. If we look, and I deal with this both on the legal and on the social level, okay, and one impacts the other. Men should be able to say to women today what they want. We're now in what's called the fulfillment stage of our social and evolutionary development. And therefore, men and women both deserve happiness in relationships with each other. And men and women should be obligated to communicate with each other effectively and come to resolutions. But this can't happen if women take the undeserved moral high ground. I deserve things just because I have a vagina, just because of my physiology, I deserve this type of treatment. That becomes dictatorial and abusive. And a lot of women, in fact, I was looking at an article just recently, a woman who joined Match.com was scamming men. She had a spreadsheet where she was getting free meals to the tune of $1,200 a month. She was just going out with men, and I call it meal, drink, and entertainment hoeing. And this particular woman, you can look it up, woman scams men out of $1,200 on dates, and I encourage you to look that up. But women have taken this privilege and entitlement thing to, it's at a fever pitch. It's abusive, and it blocks the ability for both men and women to connect with each other. And this thing of excluding women from military service is a clear-cut example of abuse of gender privileges.
Hmm. Okay. Wow. Now, you have actually said a lot. And, you know, I agree with you, but do you feel that it's getting any better? Or is it still, we still at that point to, well, how can I put it? We're just spinning our wheels in mud.
No, absolutely. It's improving. And I predict within the next 5 to 7 years, there will be even more improvement, but in May, this is July now, but roughly in mid-May, the Department of Defense opened up 14,000 combat-related jobs to women. 14,000. These were jobs that women were previously excluded from based on the BS of gender. It was absolute gender discrimination. And right on the heels of the Department of Defense opening up these 14,000 combat-related jobs to women, two female reservists, as I just mentioned, filed a federal lawsuit that seeks to lift the restriction of women in combat, because it says that, as I just repeated to you, that women are doing the work. They're attached to combat units, but they're not getting the credit. And remember, when you are in combat, that goes on your resume, as it were, and that goes toward your promotion, your raises, and so on and so forth. And ultimately, it impacts women's retirement. So they have an ironclad argument that they are sure to win. And after they win this argument, you know, Congress will have to get its lazy ass up to speed and actually require that women register for the Selective Service just as males do. And by the way, males are punished if they don't register for the Selective Service upon reaching 18. They can't get student loans or grants. They can't get any professional license, such as an engineer, a physician, or an attorney. Those they can't get any police or firefighter jobs, and they can actually be prosecuted for not registering for the Selective Service. And 34 states will deny males a driver's license if they haven't registered for the Selective Service. Now, were you aware of that?
Yes, I was. Yes, I was aware of that.
Okay, you were aware of how society locks men out of the benefits of this society if they don't register for the Selective Service, and women are not even bothered by that. You were aware of that?
I was aware of that.
Okay. Well, most people aren't.
That's
the, when I bring this up to most women, they are unaware of the supreme and superior privileges they have over men.
Well, yeah, most of them, you know, today's society, they don't think on that level. No, only thing they know is the men have to do it and the women don't. You know, that's why I said if we make it mandatory, yes, we include the young ladies also. But you did bring up a good point about having them do the selective service, you know, because that is a great idea. That way, like you said, we even things up a little bit.
Well, that's register for the selective service. We don't have a draft currently, and we're overburdening and overstressing our paltry volunteer force. I mean, they're doing a great job, what they're supposed to do. But did you hear that more soldiers are dying as the result of suicide than in the war? Did you hear those particular stats lately?
Yes, I have.
Yeah, that's because they're overstressed. And one of the ways to relieve that stress would be to, now, to the military's credit, I got to give credit where credit is due. They are advertising to both males and females now, because some of the Army ads, I believe, say talk to your sons and daughters about signing up. And, you know, the military is a microcosm of the macrocosmic general society. So there are a lot of jobs and job training for people in the military, especially poor people, people who don't have a lot of money and aren't able, you know, to buy the best education and, you know, have the best contacts. The military is a fantastic way to go. And women should not be excluded from this, because what happens is we subsidize women for popping out Xerox copies of themselves and being wards of the state, being leeches and parasites upon the taxpayers, when we could encourage women to go into the military, learn a useful trade, and become a productive citizen. You follow that?
Yes, I'm with you on that. I'm following you. And, yes, I agree. You know, especially for, you know, the ones that aren't privileged enough to afford college and, you know, go to a school and get a trade, the military is a great way of doing it. You know, that's what I said earlier. You know, you can go get a trade, you can get your education, and it's right there. It's right there for you. You know, it's free, basically. You know, as long as you do your time.
Well, you know, today with, you know, America has changed, I think, since the 2008 and subsequent recession. Pretty much people are going, and the removal of what they call defined pensions, people are going to have to pretty much work all their lives now. And, of course, the retirement age, they keep pushing it, you know, forward. In other words, you retire later. I think they're looking at 67. But, you know, this would be the military offers a great opportunity for a young person, like I say, with respect to job training, and if you're pretty smart, the military recognizes smart people. You can travel, you can go where you want. I think they have 30 years. They have 30 days per annum paid vacation. So it's a much better deal for many women and men, but particularly women, because women are sitting around popping out these kids. And these kids end up going to prison, because most single mothers, it's bad to be a voluntary single mother. Let's just make that very clear.
Yes,
and this would be a fantastic way for women to get job training and life discipline and life skills to become a better person. So I think that's a win-win situation to get women connected with the military.
You're right. And, you know, today the women in the military, the ones that are actually in, that I work with, you know, worked hard and they progressed and they made a better life. And many of them were single parents, you know, but it did help them, you know, get some structure in their life, not to mention release that potential that a lot of them didn't even know they had.
Absolutely, absolutely. And that's what we want. That's what we want. But see, we don't really help anybody by coddling them. You have to let people, give people an opportunity to learn real life lessons. I think in Israel, everybody has to participate in the military. And in some other areas too, the European Union, I think several years ago, women there, to their credit, sued to join combat forces. And all these arguments that have been raised that women aren't this and women can't do this, the military found that, I believe, with 16 weeks of training, women can obtain 91% of the upper body strength as men. And as a result of that, women can do, if they're qualified, just like all men aren't qualified for everything. I mean, I'm not qualified to be, for example, an NFL football player. I mean, you know, but the thing of it is, more women could be qualified if we would just take a different unbiased and gender discriminatory approach.
Yeah, I agree. And I think, you know, I believe that it's slowly beginning to change from that. You know, that their standards are, the standards are sort of becoming a little bit better to where they can advance and get in, you know, and once they in, it's, you know, it's all opportunity for them.
Right, right, that's correct.
No, and what I mean, it's open then.
In the military?
Yes.
Oh, okay, great, great.
Yes. Oh. Yes. So, you know, it's, hey, it's just, that's why I say we should make it mandatory. You know, we should make, you know, like some people going to argue, though, isn't that like the draft? And I'm explaining, no, it has nothing to do with draft. 24 months, that's all. 24 months. And after that, they can, once they realize what an opportunity is, they may actually stay and continue.
Absolutely. Now, what are you saying? 24 months, I didn't quite catch that. What are you recommending?
That all our young people make it mandatory that they serve at least 24 months in the military.
Well, I agree with that, but let me see. Okay, I'll just say that's a good thing. I think that would be a great thing because the military does teach discipline. It teaches you to see something higher than yourself. It helps one, escape the extreme narcissism or selfishness that most people have, particularly young people. So, yeah, I agree with that because that would alleviate. But see, there's probably going to be a problem with that. If you talk about, we don't have a draft currently. Now, there is compulsory registration, as I said, that all males and only males have to register for the Selective Service. But you understand we don't have a military draft currently, and
right.
I don't know if that particular idea is popular to force people to, join the military. I think if it were promoted properly, sufficient numbers of people would sign up for the military if we would talk about issues just as we're talking about right now. And everybody doesn't have to go to combat. I was encouraging several young women to join up for the military, and one said to me very candidly, "I don't want to get killed." I said, "Well, I can understand that. I can appreciate that position." I said, "However, you're a smart young person. You can go into areas of the military that, are not engaged in direct combat. There's the Navy. There's the Air Force. I mean, there are options. And all positions in the military or even the Marines, I should say the Army or Marines, are not directly engaged in combat, although that is their prime objective.
Right. And, you know, and with the plan, I was saying, you know, it could be so simple as they can join the National Guard. You know,
hey, invite some women to call in. I don't know if any – I'd love to chop it up with women to hear what they have to say. Let's hear from some of them because most of them, you know, they only focus on the tertiary sector of society. They don't tend to focus – there's a great book to read about this. It's called The Myth of Male Power, The Myth of Male Power. And it talks about how society is segregated based upon war, work, and women, and how the genders are segregated based upon those three criteria. War, 99.9% of the war dead, and probably 97 to 98% of the war wounded are male. That's just inappropriate in this era of equality. And work, men still do the most dangerous, dirty jobs. And women are often very unappreciative of what men do. But that's our fault because we don't speak up. We don't say to women, you know, eating crab, like a lot of women love to eat crab. But I understand over the last 10 years, something like 160 people, all men, have lost their lives in the North Sea fishing for crab. And women use most of the toilet paper. About 60 to 65% of the toilet paper, you know, is used by women. But women aren't any of the loggers. Virtually all the loggers are male. And that's a very dangerous job, by the way.
Yes, it is. Yes, it is. Okay, ladies, well, the challenge has been put out there for you. Call in and let us know what you think.
Yeah, let them get on the phone.
You know, if you want to join in the conversation, you can dial in at 347-838-862. Email me at ericletstalk@gmail.com, or I do have a chat room open. So you can, either way, let us know what you're thinking.
Now, ladies oftentimes will sit back and they'll listen to a conversation like this, but they won't participate. Many women, unfortunately, are intimidated by the truth. And that's a sad, and again, that's partly men's fault because women can't hear what men don't say. So men should be talking to women. I ask women all the time, there's confusion about date rape, and I love to deal with that particular issue, date rape. So I ask women, well, if you want to have sex with a man, what is your obligation? How do you let a man know without any equivocation that you want to engage in sex? We know you are as sexual as men are, you know, so we allow women to really fly under the radar and of all these important issues, and that creates confusion for both. Women often can't find a compatible mate. Why? Because their pickers are defective. They don't talk to men. They don't get to know men. And only the more, I would say, sinister men are able to break through her nincompoopish defenses or her, you know, the shield that she puts up because she's not upfront and straightforward. So men end up having to learn how to crack her code, as it were. But usually, because it takes so much energy and expertise just to crack her code, that's all these men can do is just crack the code, get in, get the drawers, and then they're out. They don't know how to have relationships, but because we don't talk to women, women don't know that they're acting in a way that's counterproductive to the very relationships they say they want with men. So all of this is interrelated. It's just like the body, a very integrated but yet at the same time, we call complex diversity, I believe it is.
Well, since you did say that, so how do you feel about the drill instructors down at in San Antonio that's up for, you know, I guess raping and molesting the young ladies?
I'm sorry, repeat that.
What about, how do you feel about the case right now that's going on about the drill instructors down in the San Antonio, Air Force drill instructors that have been accused of raping and molesting the female cadets.
Okay, I'll have to look that story up, but I will say this. Women have a phenomenal amount of sexual power because we give it to them, and women tend to be attracted to men in positions of power or notoriety. And, of course, like I say again, I'm not commenting on that particular scenario because I this is the first I've heard of it. It must have been a story that just broke, right?
Yeah, last week, basically, yes.
Yeah, okay. Well, it's not uncommon, just like Monica Lewinsky sought out the president. And you think about this. Here's the most powerful man on earth, but yet she has more sexual power than he does. And no one really brought that up. And it's true what he did was inappropriate, but we as a society tend to lie about the power that women have sexually and how they're able to, you know, wield that power. If the drill instructors did something inappropriate and, you know, probably having sex with the subordinate is considered ipso facto a violation, but
right.
Again, we tend to turn a blind eye to the to the sexual power of women. It hasn't always been that way, but you know we need to revisit the amount of power women have sexually. Would you agree?
Well, yes, I do. I do agree with that part of it. But with this going on, okay, with this going on right now, you know, a couple of years ago with the Army's drill sergeants being accused of the same thing, would this kind of give strength to the movement that women shouldn't be allowed, you know, to be made to go into the military, you know, unless it's volunteering? You know, because most say, well, I don't want to go in because they're not treating me right or I may get raped or what have you. Yes, I do agree, though. Women have a sexuality about them, even in the military. And some of them do use it to their advantage. That's a fact. But in the overall scheme, would this be something that be looked upon negatively?
Well, absolutely not. That would simply be silly. The young babies, and this is very unfortunate, swimming pools pose a grave danger to young babies. Because they get drowned in swimming pools. But yet we don't ban swimming pools. We take precautions. We build fences around them. We tell parents to be more careful. You know, a lot of babies die in automobile accidents. We don't say ban kids from riding in cars. No. We get booster seats. And I think they're called booster seats. What do they call the seats that you strap children down in?
Car seats, booster seats.
Car seats, yeah. I misconstrued that. But the thing of it is we get car seats. We find ways to get around the de minimis problem. Sure, it's horrible that kids – people used to hold kids in the car, and they couldn't hold them under those tremendous physical forces when a car is impacted by another car or, you know, when the driver runs off the road or whatever. So we got these child restraint seats. I think that's what they call them. And so, just because there are aberrations where there are a few violations, you know, you don't throw the baby out with the bathwater, to use a historical bromide. So the thing is, you want to correct the problem, and mm-hmm. as more women come into the military and more women own up to their sexuality, I think now, not saying that the women did anything wrong in this particular instance, because I don't know, but I'm just generally, women usually play a great part in any sexual concern. And I often use the example, you know, sometimes like a woman will argue it's her body in the sexual unfortunately, the game that men and women play. And I like to, you know, think of analogies that help us understand this better. If a woman puts her body on an airplane and you know, it's on the runway, on the tarmac, and getting ready to take off, can she all of a sudden say, "Stop! I don't want to go"? Well, the answer is hell no. Sometimes when you make a decision to do something, you have to follow through. And, you know, there's a situation where women have cried rape once they start sex with a man. Now, I agree if a man or a woman who initiates sex and then they want to quit, well, either person should stop. But the fact of the matter is, if you invite me into your house, you can't subsequently charge me with breaking and entering. You follow that?
Okay. Yes, I'm with you on that.
It's entirely different. And if a woman, you know, I used the example with an attorney one time that really shut her up in her tracks, a very famous attorney, female attorney. And I asked her, I said, basically, why is it that if a woman, and we were talking about so-called date rape, if a woman climbs behind the wheel of an automobile while inebriated, she's considered criminally liable if she gets in an accident. Whereas if the same woman climbs into bed with a man and she has sex and then has buyer's remorse, she's considered a victim. I say, why is that? Well, it's because it's a man, and we can blame the man in that instance. But at any rate, getting back to your subject, and I think all of this is related to male-female interaction, and as we uncover, you know, and have real communication on any male-female level, we really benefit all areas of male-female communication.
And exactly. You're exactly right. It's into the communication part. That's the biggest issue as far as, you know, getting everything equal for the military. But, yes, ladies, I'm still waiting to hear from you out there.
I mean, I'm just sort of, you know, that's the area that women tend, modern-day women, 21st century women, are absolutely abysmal at communicating. They're very poor communicators. Now, a lot of women think complaining is tantamount to communicating. They're not the same. Communicating is basically what we're doing right now. We're having a conversation. I'm just laying down some foundations. I'm actually an introverted type of individual, but I see these issues need to be addressed. And so many people are scared to address these issues. Most of the problem between men and women deal with a breakdown in communication. And very few people are addressing that. Very, very few therapists, family and marriage counselors, authors, et cetera, relationship coaches, they are scared to address the issue of women actually becoming good communicators with men.
Okay, what you're saying that, now, a question just came to mind. If that is the case, then are you saying that our politicians are scared to actually address this issue of mandatory military service because it would have to include females?
Well, okay, now when you say mandatory, look, I think that first of all, the military is doing fairly well, although it could do better, with a voluntary force, completely voluntary. Now, they're recycling people because they have too few people. I think it could be done other ways, juxtaposed to you call a draft, mandatory draft. Now, requiring women to register as men are required to register is completely appropriate. And I think the buildup in the military could occur with advertising. I think that should be tried first. Advertising in the communities, explaining it like I'm explaining it now, where people can get good training, good job opportunities. And look at it this way. I mean, it's a fantastic deal because people could go into the military for 20 years, and, you know, get your, you could get college training or certainly what they call a subsidy to pay college tuition, get your college training, see a lot of the world, get a skill while you're going to college, because you can do them both simultaneously. And most company commanders would be, would allow, I think they would allow people to attend college. And, of course, when you finish your military service, you could parlay that into a civilian job, which many many people do, men and women. So I think it's, like I say, for a person who doesn't have a lot of money or doesn't want to spend a lot of money, the military is certainly a viable alternative.
Right. And so, and here's my argument with that. Instead of spending all that money on advertisement, why don't we just go ahead and say, okay, from 18 to 24, okay, if you're not going to college right away, you have to serve 2 years, okay? Now, in that 2 years, they still get to see the opportunity of the military brings, and then they get to make a decision that way. And plus, if they do 2 years, you know, they still have that discipline that they received in the military, and they have may hopefully have a direction where they want to go when they decide to get out. And like you say, some may stay in and do a whole career, which would be wonderful, you know, but they still have a chance. And for low-income families, you know, that's a chance for that individual to still get an education without, you know, breaking their parents.
See, in principle, I agree with you, but let me just tell you this, if you, and I'm a little bit of a historian, the draft vis-a-vis the Vietnam War left a very bad taste in people's mouths with respect to having compulsory military service. And I think that's what you're talking about, 2 years mandatory service, correct?
Correct.
Okay. In principle, I agree with you. In theory, based upon the historical precedent of, you know, after the Vietnam War, they suspended the military draft.
Right.
But I understand what you're saying. I just think it would probably be better. And most military leaders say they would prefer an all-volunteer service opposed to compelling people to join. Compelling them to register, just the compelling women to register as men have to register, I agree with that. And I think that would accomplish part of what you're talking about now, because it would create a setting to where women would be contiguous with military. In other words, they would be introduced to the military in a very significant way.
Hmm.
You follow me?
Okay, yes. I see your point as well.
Yeah.
And yeah, and so basically we would start with the what we just talking about, the signing, having to sign, everybody having to do the selective services.
Right, so, and the backdoor approach for that is going to be the fact that when the women win this lawsuit in district court to lift the ban on combat, because that was Congress's major reason for not requiring women to register for the Selective Service, is that women weren't required to, the women weren't allowed in combat. So once that is removed with this very powerful lawsuit, and I don't think that lawsuit is going to be able, in other words, the women will prevail on that because they have a very clear and convincing and compelling reason to have that ban lifted. They make strictly employment claims. Those are employment claims.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm sure EEOC will be behind that as well. And now, by the way, a National Organization of Women,
mm-hmm.
they are behind that also. It's
okay.
on their website where they agree with women serving in the military. They don't talk about it as much as they should, but they do acknowledge that if men have to men and women should be treated equally, in other words.
Correct. And I think, you know, the environment in the military is also changing to that perspective or that theology. you know, that men and women, you know, they should be out there. They're out there together anyway. So, I mean, why not? Because you have medical units that has females that ride along with the four units. So, and they do include females. So why not? You know?
Right. There, I would encourage you to look up the lawsuit. Women file a lawsuit to lift ban on combat, to lift restrictions on combat, something of that nature. And use Start Page. They say Google tracks you, so if you use Start, startpage.com, they don't track you. So,
okay.
at any rate, have any women called in? I mean, and you'll be able to carry this conversation, too. One of the things I like to do is to equip men and women to have real conversations, because most of the time men and women don't have real conversations. They don't have real conversations about sex. They don't have real conversations about money. And those are the two things that cause the most, the largest rift and also dissolution and destruction of relationships. Those two areas right there, money and sex. And the reason for that is those areas have such an impact upon every other aspect of a relationship. For example, there's nothing that money doesn't cover. Money addresses everything. It addresses where you live, what your class status is, what your health, what degree of health you're in, either your money or somebody's money. Let's put it that way.
Yeah, let's put it that way.
And this is one of the things we should say to women. When you first meet a man, you're not entitled to his money. He may not even like you. You may not like him. And I encourage women, drop this, you know, this requirement that men have to pay for you. Ask a man to the park. Do things initially that don't cost anything. That way you'll be able to communicate and get to know the person, if that's your intention. Because a lot of women will say, well, I can't meet quality men. Yes, you can. Quality men are all around you. You just have not usually developed to where you like quality men. You like the jerk, the a-hole, the near-do-well, and the broken man. You like to try to fix men. I tell women all the time, never try to repair a man. It's like going to a car lot, if you can picture this, and getting a car that you have to tow home, juxtaposed to getting one that's, you know, roadworthy, that's new. Women generally pick the broken men. And so women are the ones that have to correct that. Agreed?
Well, yeah, a lot of them do pick broken men. I do agree with that.
Most women pick broken men.
Yeah, a lot of them do. A lot of them do. You know, and that's their preference. I mean, that's what they like. That's what they like. But getting back on topic, So with the military, it's, I don't know, it's getting better. And I agree with you. I think those two soldiers actually will win their lawsuit. But after they win the lawsuit, how long will you take before the whole thing is implemented into everyday military service?
Well, I just told you, you know, preceding that lawsuit, 14,000 combat positions or combat-related positions that were previously closed to women, and I think this was in the month of May.
Mm-hmm.
So great changes are occurring right now. That's a lot of positions, 14,000.
Yes, it is.
Did you know that?
No, I didn't. I wasn't aware of that.
Okay, so that answers part of the question you just asked. The changes, monumental changes, are already taking place. So that's the reason I repeated that, is so you could see things are all, and you can look that up also. 14,000 combat related positions open to women.
Okay. Yep. All right. Well, thank you. Thank you for the wonderful conversation. I really
absolutely enjoy. Thank you.
Okay. And ladies, we're still waiting on you because We need to know what you think about it. No, we really do. Well, it's getting close to time for me to end the show today. And, you know, we have a lot of good information that came out of today's show. So, like I said, even if you don't get a chance to call in, you can always email me, ericletstalk@gmail.com, and we can continue to conversate about this subject, you know. But if you're just listening, I need more than you just listen. I need you to come in and give your point of view on what we just discussed. Once again, I'd like to thank our caller because he had plenty of information. He really did, and I really enjoyed speaking with him. Now, that is about wrap up the show, and I really enjoyed. Thank you for listening to Let's Talk. I'm your host, Eric Jackson. Well, you can join me tomorrow when my topic would be crabs in a barrel. Now, for the younger listeners, crabs in a barrel is a term we use when everybody's in the job pool, and as soon as one person advances, everybody else pull them down. So that would be the topic of discussion tomorrow on Let's Talk. And once again, I want to thank you for listening, and I'll see you tomorrow here on Let's Talk. I'm out of here.